Hare Krishna. Today is generally Srila Prabhupada's class, but devotees requested me to speak something about Srila Prabhupada, especially because tomorrow, the 13th of August, marks the 50th anniversary of the departure of Srila Prabhupada from the shores of India on his Jaladuta boat. That's tomorrow morning. So today we are going to remember that most momentous occasion that has changed the course of the world. Even if you think it hasn't changed the course of the world, but just changed the course of a few people, just wait for a few years more. And you'll see the impact this movement will have on the world in the years to come. That was 13th August 1965, when Srila Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta ship from Calcutta, now called Kolkata. When Prabhupada reached America after a 35-day sea voyage, as he was in Boston, and as he approached Boston, and also after he reached Boston, he was meditating on his mission, the purpose for which Krishna had sent him here. And then he wrote two songs, two poems. And I'd like to sing one of them today, this morning. And this is called Markine Bhagavat Dharma. No, not this one, the other one. Yeah, can we have the translation first? Markin in Bengali means America. So what this song means is preaching Bhagavad Dharma in America. And that was the subject of his meditation. So I'll read the translation of the song first, then we'll sing it, and then we'll share a few thoughts about or describe a few things about the few days prior to his actual departure from Kolkata. Quote, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message." And the next few verses are translations of text 17 through 21 of the second chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness. The man whose mind has been in... Then the devotee is established in goodness, I beg your pardon, and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. Krishna, I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18 September 1965. Okay, so we'll just sing this song now. Bada kripa koile Krishna adhamera prati bada kila giya nile tha Karo ebe gati Karo আছে কিছু কার্য তব এই অনুমানে, নহে কেন আনিবেন এই উগ্রস্থানে, রজস্তম গুণে এরা সবাই আছন্ন, বাসুদেব কথা রুচি নহে সে প্রসন্ন, তবে যদি তব কৃপা হয় অহয় তো কি, সকল সম্ভব হয় তুমি সে কত কি, কিভাবে বুঝালে তারা বুঝে সেই রাস, এত কৃপা করো প্রভু করি নিজ বাস, তোমার ইচ্ছায় সব হয় মায়া বাস, তোমার ইচ্ছায় নাশ মায়ার পরাশ, তব ইচ্ছা হয় যদি তাদের উদ্ধার, বুঝিবে নিশ্চয় তবে কথা সে তোমার, ভাগবতের কথা সে তব অবতার, ধীর হইয়া শুনে যদি কানে বারবার, বার
Shrinvatam Svakatha Krishnaha Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hradyantastho Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suhitsatam. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyuttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati neshtiki. Tadarajastamo bhavah kamalobhadayaschaye chetaitairanavidham sthitam sattve prasidati. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Vidyate hridaya granthish chidyante sarva sanshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishtaivatmanishvare. Rajastamahate tobe paibe nistara. Hridaye rabhadra sate Guchi betahara. Ki kare bujhabo katha barase chahi. Kudrami dina hina kono shakti nahi. Athacha enecho prabhu katha bolibare. Je tomar ichha prabhu করো এই বারে অখিল জগত গুরু বচন সে আমার অলঙ্কৃত করিবার ক্ষমতা তোমার তব কৃপা হলে মোর কথা শুদ্ধ হবে শুনিয়া সবার শোক দুঃখ যে ঘুচিবে আনিয়াছ যদি প্রভু আমারে না চাতে নাচাও নাচাও প্রভু নাচাও সে মতে কাষ্ঠের পুতলি যথা নাচাও সে মতে ভক্তি নাই ভেদ নাই নামে খুব দার ভক্তি বেদান্ত নাম এবে সার্থক হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে
How many of you have read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit? Which means the others haven't read. So I'll request everyone to please read this book. It's a magnificent narration of the history of Srila Prabhupada's coming to America and the early years of our movement in America as well as in other places. And of course, now there are many, many other books as well. written by devotees about their memories with Srila Prabhupada. They are also very, very nice to read. Today I'd like to narrate a few incidents that have been narrated by Srila Satswarup Maharaj in the Prabhupada Lilamrit, with specific reference to his departure from Calcutta on the 13th of August 1965. As you're all aware, it took Srila Prabhupada many, many months to arrange for his departure to America. He had tried for decades to preach in India. And there was, at least from the point of view of having devotees and so on, very little success. People were pious. People came forward. They were favorable. They would help, maybe give a little donation. But he wouldn't get any people who would actually surrender their lives to Krishna and become an important part of the Krishna consciousness movement. So after struggling and struggling, even at an advancing age, taking on so many physical austerities, going from Vrindavan to Delhi, and then being there in the printing press and distributing the Back to Godhead magazines in the hot sun with very little money, he endured many, many difficulties. And he was also translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. He managed to complete the first three cantos, three volumes, and he was now preparing for his departure to America. He realized that now there was no future in India as far as his preaching was concerned. There was very little encouragement, as he himself notes in his diaries. And furthermore, more importantly, it had been the instruction of his spiritual master given to him almost 40 years before. In 1922 or something probably, that's the first time he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Ultradanga Junction. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had given him a lifetime's mission at the very first meeting. And Prabhupada remembers that he had been a little astonished that someone he met for the first time, just gave him a life's mission. He reflected on it and he always wanted to do it. He was drawn to this very magnetic personality, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And eventually he took initiation from him, surrendered his life to him. But he had practical limitations because he was a householder at that time. Srila Prabhupada was known as Abhay Charan Day, and he had young children and a wife to support. But nevertheless, he did whatever he could to support the Gaudiya Math, which had been started by his spiritual master. And he would assist the renunciant monks in the Math who would preach. He would be their assistant. But he also was very well versed in the philosophy and the practices of Krishna consciousness. And a large part of that credit goes to his father, who actually brought him up like that. From childhood, he had been proficient in playing musical instruments like the mridanga, the kartal. He knew how to sing the bhajans and he knew how to sing kirtans. He had seen his father inviting guests and sadhus to their home and then serving them. His father had been a very, very faithful and staunch devotee of Radharani and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada had seen all this from his very childhood. Father also encouraged him to conduct festivals like the Rath Yatra, which he did in his own small way. And all through his household life, after having met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada was always meditating on how he would eventually be able to participate in this mission in a very substantial way. And gradually, by Krishna's arrangement, as Prabhupada himself mentions on some occasions, his business failed. He went to different places like Allahabad, that is Prayag. And eventually he took the Vanaprastha ashram. He accepted that ashram, moved to Vrindavan, and then was full-time engaged in his chanting and hearing and reading, and above all his translating and writing. And then he thought he should now go to Bombay. He had previously been to Bombay on many occasions, but now he wanted to go to try to get some sponsorship for his visit to America. He had managed to get hold of one Mr. Agarwal in Mathura, whose son resided in America, one of the early immigrants to America. You know, in the 1960s, there were very few Indians who went to America. Now it seems everywhere there are Indians in America. Mostly they come for economic development. So in any case, somehow or the other, the invitation and the sponsorship letter worked out. Now he had to get a ticket sponsorship. So he went to America and met Mrs. Sumati Morarji, who was the head of the Sindhya Steam Navigation Company, a shipping company. And he met her. Of course, that also required a lot of perseverance. Time doesn't permit us today to talk about the whole story of how he eventually managed to get an audience with Mrs. Morarji. And he convinced her, and finally she relented and agreed to give him a free complimentary ticket on a cargo ship of her company to go from India to America. She would try to dissuade him and said, "Swamiji, you are very old. You will not be able to bear the rigors of this sea voyage. And what will you do going to America? It's going to be very difficult for you to live there." But Bhaktivedanta Swami, as he was known at that time, was very determined. He would go to America at any cost. So anyway, the ticket was done. Very kindly, Sumati Morarji also financed many of his personal paraphernalia. She arranged for her officers to buy some warm clothing for him, and so on and so forth. And eventually, 2 weeks before the date of his departure from Calcutta via the Jaladuta ship, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami left Bombay for Calcutta. He arrived there. And although he hailed from Calcutta, he was raised there as a child. But now he was going as a sannyasi. Now he could not go to his own home. And in his Vrindavan bhajan, he mentions, "Where is my father? Where is my mother? Where am I? My relatives, all gone. They're all just a list of names now. Because father, mother, they're all departed. And even his family members, some of them were there. But he was a sannyasi now and he couldn't go and associate with them. He had nowhere to go to. The sannyasi." Can you imagine Prabhupada coming back to Calcutta, not knowing where to live, what to do? So he didn't go to any of his friends or relatives, family members. He went to the house of one Mr. Shishir Bhattacharya, whom he didn't know so well. He had just met him once or twice in the residence of the governor of the state of Uttar Pradesh in Lucknow many years ago, when he had gone there for some program. So he came to the doors of Mr. Shishir Bhattacharya and said, "Can you arrange some place for me to stay? And can you also arrange some speaking engagements for me? I am here for 2 weeks before I go to America. And I am going to preach Krishna consciousness in America." So even though Prabhupada didn't know him that well, nevertheless, Shishir Bhattacharya, to his credit, arranged accommodation. And he began very enthusiastically arranging speaking engagements for Srila Prabhupada. And then he would escort Prabhupada to all these different places for speaking engagements. Prabhupada would speak about the Bhagavatam, about Krishna. And once Prabhupada took the opportunity to go to Mayapur to visit the Samadhi of his Guru Maharaj Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took his blessings there because he was about to embark on something very monumental, something that very, very few had done in the past, because traditionally Hindu sannyasis were not supposed to cross the seas. They were not supposed to go abroad. One reason probably was that if you cross the seas, you would have to associate with mlechas and yavanas and all sorts of uncivilized people who had all sorts of bad habits and lifestyles, and that would be contaminating for a sannyasi. It was good for a sannyasi to remain in the land of Vedic culture. But such was his spirit. He had the fire of preaching blazing within his heart, and the instructions of his Guru Maharaj right there in the forefront of his mind. And now this was one tradition, one custom that he could dispense with. He was willing to dispense with it, even if it meant that he could be criticized by certain conservative sections of the society. So he came back, knowing that he was secure in the orders of his spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was also something of a non-conformist. He also challenged conservative ways of thinking. He would travel by car, he would have a flashy car to travel in, he would sometimes wear coats. Sannyasis never wore coats in those days. He had coats, and he used to invite these British governor generals and high officials of the government to the temple. And he would sometimes even arrange foodstuffs which are not quite permitted, and he would give it to them. He would do all sorts of very, very dynamic and innovative things which would shock conservative elements. So Srila Prabhupada had that dynamic, non-conservative element in him, even though both Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were themselves very, very strongly conservative when it came to their convictions and their personal lifestyles. So then he came back, and the speaking engagements organized by Shishir Bhattacharya continued. And Shishir Bhattacharya remembers that whenever he escorted Prabhupada back from the speaking program engagements, there usually was no conversation between them. Prabhupada would be very quiet. And sometimes, however, Shishir Bhattacharya says that I would speak. And I would tell him, in your lecture, you said such and such a thing, but I think in this way, my opinion about it is this, this and this. And Prabhupada would get very annoyed. And he said, sometimes Prabhupada got furious. He said, what is the value of your thinking? I am thinking, I think, I think. What is the meaning of I think? Every time you speak, you say, I think. What is the value of I think? Your thinking, my thinking, no value. We should listen to the words of the Shastra. The Shastras are important. It doesn't matter what you think and what I think. And then Shishir Bhattacharya would protest and say, but it's important for me what I feel, what I think. And then Prabhupada would again get angry. He said, no, it's not important what you think and what I think. What is important is what Shastra says. So in any way, these friendly arguments would happen between them. And Prabhupada somehow engaged his gentleman in service in the last 2 weeks of his stay here in India. And finally that fateful day arrived, 13th of August, 9 o'clock in the morning, was the time of departure of the Jaladuta. Srila Prabhupada arrived at the port, at the harbor, well in time, and he was accompanied by just a few people. One of them was a gentleman from the Sindhya Steam Navigation Company. And his son Vrindavan was there. And one or two other gentlemen. A small party to see him off. And little did he realize, probably, that just a couple of years later, he would have hundreds of ecstatic, enthusiastic young foreigners, boys and girls coming to see him off and receive him at airports. What a difference, just in a couple of years. And now he had just two or three others who were there. And like a lonely elderly gentleman, he was set to sail to America. He had only one small suitcase, one umbrella, and he carried a bag of cereals because he didn't know what he would get in America. He thought maybe there'll only be meat available, in which case he came prepared to live on potatoes, boiled potatoes, and then the cereal he was carrying. He was prepared for it. And then he strode confidently into the ship, and the sailors were eyeing him curiously. They've had all kinds of... First of all, it wasn't a passenger ship. It was a cargo ship. And they never had a sannyasi traveling before. So the sailors were looking on curiously and wondering who this gentleman was. Sumati Morarji had already told the captain of the ship, Mr. Arun Pandya, to stock extra fruits and vegetables for the Swamiji. So the captain had done that. He was a pious gentleman. His wife was also on board. She was also a very pious lady. And Srila Prabhupada then set forth on the Jaladuta. At 9 o'clock sharp, the ship set sail and moved into the Bay of Bengal. And Prabhupada notes in his diary that there was seasickness, dizziness, vomiting, again, more seasickness, heavy rains, more vomiting. His first time out at sea. And till he left America again, he had never been on an airplane. First time on a ship and never yet been on an airplane. And somehow with great difficulty, he managed till Colombo. Colombo arrived after a couple of days in Sri Lanka. Then it used to be called Ceylon. So his seasickness symptoms subsided somewhat. And it was the 19th. And then the next day was Janmashtami. And the day after that was his appearance day. So then the ship arrived on the 20th, which was Janmashtami, at Cochin, on the southwestern tip of India. And that was where his trunks of 200 three-volume sets of Srimad Bhagavatam came from India. They had been separately sent by the Sindhya cargo arrangement. And then those trunks came aboard, and Prabhupada celebrated Janmashtami by cooking, offering to Krishna, and distributing the prasadam to the crew members on the ship, and by speaking to them about Krishna. He gave a small lecture to the captain and his wife and a few others who were free, who were available to hear. And then the next day was his appearance day, and he was all alone. Little did he know, perhaps, at least consciously, that some years down the line, his birthdays would be grand celebrations, with hundreds and thousands of devotees celebrating worldwide, just a matter of few years. So he was all alone. His birthday was not celebrated. It just went by. It was his 69th birthday. And now Prabhupada sailed out on the Jaladuta from India towards the Red Sea, across the Arabian Sea. And then Prabhupada mentions that the seasickness symptoms got stronger and stronger. And then at a point he said, I realized it wasn't seasickness. There was a lot of pain, intense pain in the chest. Then he says there were heart attacks. There were two heart attacks. And somehow Prabhupada survived, he says, by the grace of Krishna. And as time went by and they moved into the Atlantic was very quiet. Prabhupada had a dream before they entered into the Atlantic. Krishna was rowing a boat. And he was assuring Srila Prabhupada, don't worry. Everything will be all right. And Prabhupada got courage from that dream and that assurance from Krishna personally. And then that was the smoothest sailing that the Jaladuta ever had, Captain Pandey said. He said in all his decades of serving on ships, he had never seen the Atlantic Ocean so calm. Because Prabhupada said Krishna had taken control now. And he ruefully observes that had he had another heart attack, he wouldn't have survived for sure. So Krishna very kindly arranged for him to reach Boston Harbor and then eventually New York, and then began a historic epoch in the annals of devotional history of this world. And that all began, of course, on the 13th of August 1965. Tomorrow will be exactly 50 years. So it's a good time for us to remember the sacrifices that this one elderly sannyasi made. Leaving Vrindavan when most people of his age and his inclination would have just lived on in Vrindavan and gone back to Godhead. They could have lived peacefully. He had his accommodation in Radha Damodar temple. He could have lived there comfortably, in happiness. But he gave up all those spiritual comforts even, what to speak of material comforts. Those spiritual comforts just so that we could all get Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. So it's time. So today is a good day for us. Today, tomorrow especially, remember, 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's departure from India. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai.